Auburn basketball game is over. Now it's time for ESPN 106.7's After the Game. Presented by Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe on South College in Auburn. Also brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic and Columbus Hospice of Alabama. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390. 334-321-1390. Now, welcome to After the Game.
Welcome on into After the Game. We are broadcasting live from Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe in downtown Auburn. After the Game is sponsored by Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe, the Orthopedic Clinic, and Columbus Hospice of Alabama. Lance Daw, Zach Blackerby here with you to recap Auburn's 77-72 win over the 25th-ranked Tennessee Volunteers. And Zach, that seemed like just a complete team effort that we saw just now.
Yeah, and you knew if Auburn was going to pull out a victory at home against a ranked Tennessee team, it would have to be. No Sharif Cooper, and it's like, okay, we remember what this team looked like starting conference play with no Sharif Cooper. It was tough to watch at times, and Auburn fans would watch those games and be like, okay, this is fine, we'll deal with this because we know Sharif Cooper hopefully will eventually show up. And he did, and Auburn got better, and then they've been without him the last few outings, and they've looked like they did early in conference play when they didn't have him before. And so it's like, how is Auburn going to bounce back? How is Auburn going to beat this team? And they found a way. And they did it through really second-chance points and offensive rebounds. And Alan Flanagan had a really solid game. 23 points, 7 of 14 from the floor. He made two of his 5 3-point shots, 7 rebounds. He also had some 3 assists, but I think kind of the under-the-radar player of the game here is Jamal Johnson. Not shooting guard Jamal Johnson, but point guard Jamal Johnson.
You know, at the beginning of SEC play, something that Auburn lacked was a consistent scoring threat. They just kind of fell apart, and without Powell, it was like, okay, where is Auburn going to go? And now we've seen in these past few games without both Powell and Cooper, the starting rotation has just fallen apart. But you put Jamal Johnson in at point guard, and he played excellent today.
And some folks have kind of suggested that. Some fans have said, well, why don't you try Jamal? And it's like, no thank you. But he proved a lot of the people that had my kind of frame of mind around that wrong today. He looked really comfortable bringing the ball down the court. You're reading off his stats while the game was going. I think he just had one turnover. Is that right?
He had 3 assists and 1 turnover.
So you take that, and a guy that has limited reps bringing the ball down the court, I wish we would have seen that more when Sharif Cooper had been off the floor, because you kind of wonder at this point of the season, could he have developed into being that number 2 point guard? But, yeah, Jamal Johnson, and we got to get to a call, but I want to talk a lot more about his character and what he's meant for this team later in the show today. We're broadcasting live from Tzatziki's on South College Street. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Ed, you're first up today. What'd you think of the game? Do we have Ed? All right, Drew, let us know if we okay, he dropped. Cool. Let us know if he calls back. 334-321-1390. So, yeah, I think when you look at what Jamal Johnson's role in this team has been, and we've talked about it before, Jaws, with his, really, he's the veteran of this group, and he hasn't really stepped up at times when you needed him to, but boy, he did today. And this is a guy that he stepped into that starting role when injuries piled up, specifically to Powell, and then he lost his job a few weeks ago to Devin Cambridge, and now he's come back, and, you know, he played point guard today, and this is just a guy that you never really see him look down. You always see him eager and excited to help his teammates. And that really, really stood out to me today.
Last year, whenever Jamal Johnson was playing for this team, we saw him heat up in non-conference play early. And then he kind of fell off because that group was just a group of senior and junior veteran guys, and he was just kind of in the mix there. But this year, he's had to step up because Auburn has little to no upperclassmen. And what he's been able to do this season for the Tigers is be confident. He's been able to step into to his role and be confident. Every single shot he takes, you know he's confident in. He will throw one up there. He'll pull a Bryce Brown, and he'll shoot one whenever he feels like it. And I love that. I love to see that from a veteran, especially from a guy who can knock down that shot. We saw early in conference play him go for 21, 20 points, 19 points, and we saw 13 from him today. He's been incredibly consistent compared to last season, and he's really filled this role. As far as point guard goes, I think you mentioned it a couple of times, he seemed really comfortable with the ball. And we've seen him at times whenever Cooper's on the floor get the ball, it just kind of be out of place, a little wobbly, doesn't really handle it well, can't really drive consistently. But we saw a different Jamal Johnson today, and I think it's very comparable to Justin Powell early in the season. He seemed very nervous with the ball in his hands, but you could tell there was potential there. And I feel like we saw the same thing with Jamal. He's nervous with the ball in his hands, but you put him in a position where he has to make the plays, and I feel like he's going to make them.
Yeah, I was shocked how comfortable he was. And I know Alan Flanagan had 23 points, but to me, a huge reason why Auburn won today was because of point guard. And it was an Auburn point guard not named Sharif Cooper, and I think that's a really big deal. I think it says a whole lot.
After the game is being broadcast here from Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe in downtown Auburn, we will continue to recap Auburn's 77-72 win over the Tennessee Volunteers right here on ESPN 106.7.
This is After the Game on ESPN 106.7. Call us at 334-321-1390. On Twitter, send us a message at ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into After the Game. Lance Dawe, Zach Blackerby here with you. And we'll get into the numbers of Auburn's 77-72 win over the Tennessee Volunteers here in just a moment. But something I want to point out first is that Tennessee was favored by 8.5 in this game. And I want to also take into consideration the fact that Bruce Pearl has won 5 straight against the Vols.
And I've said this before when we were kind of, you know, towards the end of every After the Game, we kind of do a look ahead. And we talked about how, I mean, the last several games of Auburn's schedule were tough with Florida and Mississippi State and Tennessee and Alabama. And it's like, that's tough. But all year, I said, and you agreed with me, where it's like, okay, I feel good about Tennessee at home. I feel good about it because Bruce Pearl is going to put everything that he has into this. And we were discussing this when we were watching the game live here at Tzatziki's on South College Street. This has to be one of his best coaching performances. I mean, for him to be, you know, projected to lose in Vegas by almost double digits and without, you know, the core of his team, I mean, I was just super, super impressed with what Bruce Pearl was able to do with his team today.
And you have to take into consideration where this team is currently at right now, both mentally and from a roster standpoint. They're depleted. They don't have Sharif Cooper, their best player by far. They don't really have answers at shooting guard. As far as momentum goes mentally, Auburn's on a really, really, really down. They've been down these past 4 or 5 games. They've not been able to play consistently, even with Cooper on the floor. They've just kind of fallen apart. I feel like they've given up in a sense, and for Bruce Pearl to come into this game against his former team and to bring these guys together and get them ready enough to win this game says a lot about his ability to coach, and I'm thoroughly impressed with this win. You know, we were talking about it a little bit. It's Father's Day. It's Father's Day again. You know, Bruce Pearl owns Tennessee. You know, it doesn't matter if Auburn's undefeated, 11-13, 0-20. Auburn's going to put up a fight against Tennessee, and we saw that here today.
I mean, it really is great. You know Tennessee fans, the Tennessee basketball fan base, they have to hate Bruce Pearl. They have to. And this was an important game for Tennessee. I mean, you know they want to stay in the top 25. You know their seeding in the SEC tournament is important to them, and I think they're an NCAA tournament team regardless, but you want better seeding, and losing to an unranked Auburn team is going to hurt you.
Well, here's the problem. Tennessee is currently 9-6 in the SEC. They're fighting for that fourth spot. They're fifth in the SEC right now behind 8-5 Florida. They're now 9-7. Ole Miss plays Vanderbilt today, and they're 8-7, so they will be tied for fifth going into the last 2 or 3 games of this stretch. And Ole Miss has Kentucky and Vanderbilt at home after this. So the Ole Miss gets to play Vanderbilt twice in Kentucky at home. Ole Miss is going to finish, what, 11-7?
Wow.
10-7? Tennessee, on the other hand, has to play Florida at home to finish their season. They've got one more game after this.
You hate to see it.
You hate to see it. But
sorry, Vols.
Sorry, Vols, you are not getting that double bye. Appreciate you stopping by, Auburn.
Oh, man. And, I mean, obviously we talked about it being a big game for Bruce Pearl because, you know, his relationship and his past stint as the head coach of Tennessee. But, man, like, you know they don't like him either. Like, you know they were up for it as well, and they just they couldn't get it done. And it's I mean, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And I think it's definitely the biggest win of the season for Auburn. But, you know, we talked about Jamal Johnson, his really big, solid performance with him stepping up. Allen Flanagan's 23 points. But all five of Auburn's starters scored in double digits. JT Thor had 10, a 4 of 8 from the floor. Jalen Williams, 2 of 5 from the floor. He made a 3-pointer, 13 points. And then Devin Cambridge, who started really slow and then really peaked at the end there. 5 of 17 from the floor, that doesn't look good. And 2 of 10 from 3 does not look good. But ended up with 15 points. He had 6 rebounds. And some of those were really explosive rebounds. And some of those were rebounds that, you know, I think a lot of guards in the SEC would not have been able to get.
I will knock on Cambridge a little bit for his game today. 5 of 17 from the floor is never good. 2 of 10 from 3, that's not good. Objectively, that's just bad. You score 15, you go 15-6, you know, that's not terrible. But at the same time, you talk about those rebounds. There were two different occasions where I saw he was matched up with a smaller guard. There was a long rebound that he could have gotten, and he just didn't have the energy to go and get it. I understand that he played. He did get rebounds today. He can jump. He's really athletic. But in a game like that, in order to solidify a lead and get possessions, you have to be able to get those rebounds that you know you can get.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you.
After the game is sponsored by Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe in downtown Auburn, the Orthopedic Clinic, and Columbus Hospice of Alabama. We are recapping Tennessee's 72-77 loss to the Auburn Tigers right here on ESPN 106.7. We'll be back in a moment.
Jonathan here with
the game here on ESPN 106.7. We are broadcasting live from Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe in downtown Auburn. Lance Dahl, Zach Blackerby here with you, recapping Auburn's 77-72 win over the 25th-ranked Tennessee Volunteers. Let's go ahead and go over some of the team stats here real quick. And something that you wanted to point out, Zach, is that Tennessee almost shot percentage-wise from three as well as Auburn did on the game.
Yeah, Tennessee shot 39.3 from behind the arc, and Auburn shot just 40% from the floor in this game. And I mean, Tennessee just about shot better from three than they did from the floor as well, but that's just amazing. Like, how do you lose in today's version of basketball where, you know, the three is so crucial and it's so important? How do you lose? And then you can kind of look at, you know, the game flow, and you can look at, you know, the stats, and it's like, okay, free throws are kind of what Auburn really separated themselves on. That and second chance points are the reason that Auburn won today.
Free throws were crucial in this game for sure, but something else I want to point out is that Tennessee, 26 of 63 from the field. At one point, they were 26 of 55. Shows you how poorly they shot down the stretch. Auburn, 22 of 55 from the floor. Tennessee made more field goals than Auburn, but again, the free throws came in clutch. Auburn shot 64% from the line, but it did not matter. Auburn was 24 of 37. The Vols, 9 of 10. So free throws definitely helped Auburn out, but at the same time, I don't necessarily feel like that's the Auburn's fault or the officials' fault. It's just Tennessee was fouling a lot today. And another thing to factor in is that Auburn was also cleaning up the offensive glass.
You're right. What did you think of Auburn's defense today? Because if you would have told me going into the game, it's like, okay, Auburn scores 77 against Tennessee. Do they win or lose? I would have said that Auburn would have lost that game without even putting a second of thought into it.
Well, there are two things that I tried to factor in as I was watching this game. One of those being is Tennessee offensively inept? Because after watching their 55-70 loss to Kentucky at home just a week or so ago, I looked at this team and I said, this is going to be a team that just collapses whenever they hit the NCAA tournament because they're going to run into a hot shooting team. They're going to get blown out. As far as today, you know,
was that a Lance Dahl superfan
that
just came in?
That is a Lance Dahl superfan that just walked in.
Here at Tzatziki's.
But, you know, today, Auburn's not been playing defense very well recently. They've just not been playing team defense. I think it's kind of a mix of Tennessee is offensively inept. They just haven't really been able to get a lot of flow going recently. and they hit an Auburn team that really wants to beat Tennessee.
Yeah. I still think Auburn has played bad offensive teams and still allowed 80, though. You know what I mean?
There was definitely more effort today that we saw. There were two or three different possessions. You and I were talking about it where it's like that was a good defensive possession. Auburn didn't allow them to get inside. They did not allow them to run any screens, get any offense going, and Auburn shut them down today.
What do you think of Stretch Akinbola? I know we talked a lot about bench play not really being a factor in today's game as far as scoring goes, but I think Stretch did a good job defensively. His name was called earlier. You know, we saw him play earlier in the game. Normally you don't see him until later in the first half, and we saw him within the first few minutes of today's contest. I was impressed with what he did. And normally, you know, he'll go like one of two from the floor for 3 points or something like that, and he'll have like a plus minus, like minus six, which tells me his defense isn't normally good. But to me, today, I thought it was. I was impressed with what I saw from him.
I thought that he was productive on the defensive end of the floor. 7 rebounds, 1 assist. He was 0 for 4 from the field, though.
Yeah.
And we talked about it for a minute.
There was two. He should have been 2 for 4.
He should have been 2 for 4. There were two wide open layups that he just a little too hard on.
And then that dunk, he wanted to just break the rim, and it's like, you didn't need to do that. That wasn't the situation for you to do that.
In a game like this against a top 25 team, you have to be able to just take those layups. You can't be fancy. You can't be flashy. There's no crowd to get into the
game.
That's
another element. Yeah, that's the biggest perk of a dunk is it gets the crowd into it or it takes it out of it.
Right.
And, yeah, that's not a factor this year. So, that's a good element, too. And then there was one which I think should have been called for a foul. He went up. And he got his own rebound. There's like 3 Volunteers players just like draped all over him. And then they did the exact same thing, and they hit it out of bounds. And I don't know how that wasn't a foul, but it was Tennessee's ball. So if you take those two things away, I think offensively from a production standpoint, you feel a lot better about it.
Yeah, I feel like there were definitely some good things that we saw from him defensively today. Offensively, you know, there were some moments it's like, that could have been called a different way. But I feel like he definitely can improve in that position.
And he's one of those guys, you know, a lot of Auburn fans and us included have been talking about getting guys ready for next year, who's going to take that step for next year. Because defensively, I think it's going to be the biggest thing you've got to change. And you look at a guy like Stretch Akinbola, the guy's name is Stretch. Like, his body is made to be long and be able to take up space and interfere with passing lanes. And he's a guy that defensively, I'm not saying on the offensive side of the ball, because I don't think he's going to be this big, massive, dominant post-offensive scorer. I'm not saying that. But I do think if Auburn is going to do what they believe they're capable of doing next year with the additions that they'll have this offseason, you're going to need a guy like Stretch Akinbola and JT Thor, these long post players that are going to be able to alter opposing offenses. You're going to need more games out of Stretch Akinbola, like his game today defensively, but you're going to need those on a consistent basis next year.
I think we've talked about this a couple of different times on this show, how Bruce Pearl, in a way, plays positionless basketball. Every single player can do the same thing. They can step outside. They can knock down the three. They're all very similar sizes aside from the point guard, and they play positionless basketball. Next year, with these guys that are coming in, Auburn has to have a prototypical center that can do center-type things and do those well. With a guy like Stretch, you need to see him develop those skills heading into his junior season.
I think you're right. Then you see moments of, you know, Dylan Cambridge. We talked about him. Can he use that athleticism more on the defensive side of the court? It's like, I think he can. It just hadn't really happened yet. And he had some moments today that I thought were pretty good. And then Alan Flanagan, like, you saw his monstrous dunk. Unfortunately, he missed it by, like, a tenth of a second. You know, they were called for, you know, a shot clock violation there. But you just saw the energy that when he succeeds, his team absolutely loves him. And that's important because that's what we've seen with Bruce Pearl teams in the past when they won the regular season championship. And then when they won the SEC tournament, went on to the Final Four. Those teams absolutely adored one another. And I think you see traits of that in this year's team. It's just not quite to that level. But I think as you grow these guys and let them kind of spend more and more time together, I think you're going to see that. And they're going to feed off of Alan Flanagan's success. He's just got to become a better defender. And I think they just got to play smarter basketball. a lot of weird passes, especially early on. It got better as the game evolved. But just some weird decisions that these guys make. And we're running out of time here as far as saying, like, okay, this is a young basketball team. Because there's two more games this season.
Right.
You got Alabama on Tuesday. Then you got the Mississippi State game that was rescheduled. It'll be next week. And, like, so, I mean, all these, like, freshmen are essentially sophomores now.
Right.
And it's like, okay, at what point do you have to – well, you got to quit calling them young at some point.
Right. After the game is sponsored by Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe in downtown Auburn, the Orthopedic Clinic, and Columbus Hospice of Alabama. We will be continuing to recap Auburn's 77-72 win over the Tennessee Volunteers right here on ESPN 106.7.
Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe will...
Welcome back to After the Game on ESPN 106.7. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or send us a tweet at ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into After the Game here on ESPN 106.7. We are broadcasting live from Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe in downtown Auburn, recapping Auburn's 77-72 win over the Tennessee Volunteers. Zach, I believe we have some quotes to talk about now.
Yes, Twitter. Yes, and I just want to give an update to the people. Now the Lance Doss superfan has ordered his food from Tzatziki's and is now sitting next to the one and only Lance Doss. He climbed over, like, chairs and stuff to get to that spot.
All just to talk to me, man.
Unbelievable.
The things that people will do just to hang out with me.
Unbelievable. Yeah, Bruce Pearl talking to the media after the game said, quote, our guys just beat a team that's 15 in net and was picked to win our league. Obviously, I think that is both a shot and a compliment at the same time.
Oof.
He also said, quote, you can just see this team has not quit. We were most excited to play the game today, which should be tough to do. And it really did seem like they had quit when we were doing after the game last week. You know, I know Ben Taylor was filling in for you, but you felt the same way. Like, it really seemed like this team had kind of given up on this season, and Auburn fans were like, okay, look, we get it. You're not playing for anything. But, man, the effort was there today.
Auburn, gosh, the inconsistency here down the stretch has been wild to me. I mean, you give up 104 points at any point in the season. It's like you've cashed out defensively,
yeah.
Especially given what Auburn's playing for at this point. You give up 74 points at home to Florida. Part of that, I believe, was not having Sharif Cooper, not being able to score efficiently, but it seemed that Auburn had cashed out in that game as well. And you come into this game against a top 25 team in Tennessee that plays really good defense, and you go, okay, we're about to get blown out again. Vegas is like, okay, Tennessee's favored by almost double digits. And you don't expect Auburn to come out and fight. And I really like what I saw from the Tigers today because it tells me how they're going to play against Alabama, at least what I would expect.
Right, right. Pearl talked about the staff deciding to keep Alan Flanagan on the wing and let Al be Al whenever Jamal Johnson, who ran point, was on the floor. And we talked about Jamal. Impressive that he just had one turnover in his first game as Auburn's primary point guard. And then, let's see, we got another tweet. This is Bruce, quote, that was the key to the game, game ball. He's the oldest guy, he's the smartest guy, and that shows his versatility. I want him, once he gets to the end of his career, to look back at this outlived game, talking about Jamal Johnson only turning the ball over once at point guard. And then a lot of people on Twitter talking about this specific quote from Pearl, quote, if I was a better horse man, I would know what horse to call Alan Flanagan. He's not a thoroughbred. He's not a Clydesdale. They're too slow. Well, he's a Flanagan.
That's funny. I like that a lot.
Yeah, so Bruce Pearl very high on his team.
You know, something. I've been very hard on Flanagan all season. I've been very critical of his play style and some of the decisions he's been made. But you got to think about what this kid has been through. He only averaged 3 points a game last year, worked very hard this offseason to improve and get better, and he's been asked to play in a position that he's not comfortable playing. It's not his typical role, and he has shined in moments against some really good teams, and he played his tail off today against Tennessee. If he had made one more free throw, he would have hit his career high.
Tennessee, 72 points, tied for the fourth fewest the Tigers have allowed in 16 SEC games. That actually surprises me.
That actually doesn't surprise me at all.
Okay.
Auburn, Auburn's not been playing well defensively. You know, what was the stats?
Well, it's fourth lowest
out of 16.
Yeah.
That does surprise me. I'm sorry. I take that back. I misworded what I was saying.
Sure. Yeah. So I guess those would have come from earlier in the season. But all in all, a good performance by Bruce Pearl, a good performance by his team. He talked about shooting guard Justin Powell being back with the team. He said, quote, "I've seen a better tan on a glass of milk. We've got to get him outside some more."
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. Yeah, he's got a really good point. You know, we haven't really heard a lot about what Powell's been doing. From what I understand, he hasn't really been able to attend classes either. I guess he's just kind of been checked out, just hanging out, just trying to recover from this concussion. And Pearl's right. You got to get him back out there. You got to get him walking around. You got to get him some sunlight, man.
Yeah, he and Sharif were on the end of the bench. Sharif was towards the closest to the court, and then Powell was behind him, and it was just good seeing him back. I mean, we've heard how difficult it's been for him being away from the team and, you know, not even being able to go to class for a little bit. So it's nice to see him back with the team. I'm sure, you know, mentally and emotionally it does a lot, as well as physically too. So I think that's important. I think that's outstanding. There's a better tan on a glass of milk.
I've not heard that one before. I'm gonna add that to my list, repertoire.
I think that's hilarious. That's so funny. Bruce Pearl told Jalen Williams that he only hit 17 free throws this season heading into this game. Williams listened. He was 8 of 10 from the free throw line today. I would have guessed that he had scored more from the charity stripe this year, so that's interesting. That's great.
Honestly, I agree with you. Looking at his free throw, yes, 17 of 31, 54%. On the year.
That's not good.
You know, Bruce Pearl teams have kind of been up and down when it comes to free throw shooting. You can tell whenever he's gotten into his kids about knocking them down. We saw that in the early years whenever he had guys like Horace Spencer and Bryce Brown and Wiley, and they improved as free throw shooters. And I think you get on a guy like Williams and he'll start to improve as well.
I agree.
We are continuing to recap Auburn's 77-72 win over the Tennessee Volunteers. We'll be back in a moment right here on ESPN 106.7.
At 334-321-1390. On Twitter, send us a message at ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back to the last segment of After the Game here at Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe. After the Game is sponsored by Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe in downtown Auburn, the Orthopedic Clinic, and Columbus Hospice of Alabama.
And I just want to say, you know, this may be our last edition of this year's After the Game. We know the Mississippi State game got rescheduled next Saturday. We're not exactly positive on the schedule for that yet, so we'll let people know. Be sure to tune in to ESPN 106.7 throughout the week to get that information, or follow it on social media, ESPN 106.7. But just in case this is our last time, thank you so much to Tzatziki's for hosting. This venue has been great for watching games all year, and I think their chicken roll-ups are one of the best things you can order in town. They've really grown on me. That and the whipped hummus. No, the whipped feta.
The whipped feta.
It
slaps, as one might say.
It's so good. It's so good. And in fact, it's clear that Lance Doss superfan, the one that's crashing our show right now, he's listened. He knows, because he's a superfan of yours. And what did he order?
He got the chicken roll-ups.
Yeah.
You know he did.
Yeah, he listens to the show.
Of course.
He loves you.
Something I will say about this venue, it's a beautiful restaurant. It's a very nice place to come and just watch some basketball games here on a Saturday afternoon.
Sure.
They've got some great food, really nice people, just a wonderful atmosphere. Could not recommend it more.
Absolutely, yeah. So thank you so much to them for hosting us this week. Lance Thaw, superfan, just scoot a little bit closer to you. Are you comfortable? Do you feel okay?
I'm cool.
Okay,
I'm cool.
All right. A little weird, but that's all right. That's okay. So we got two more games this season for the Tigers. We got Alabama on Tuesday. Obviously, that one speaks for itself. And then Mississippi State on Saturday, that rescheduled matchup.
Well, if Auburn's able to beat a top 25 team at home, that would give me a semblance of hope that they can beat a top 25 team on the road, especially considering it's a rival.
Sure. I mean, motivation was definitely there today, and that has been something that has been lacking over the last month or so for this Auburn team. And they were close. I mean, they were just a few, you know, a possession away, you know, from beating them earlier in the season. I don't think Sharif Cooper is going to play on Tuesday. That's just my gut. I would be surprised if we saw him play for Auburn again. That's just kind of where I'm sitting on that. I hope I'm wrong.
As far as, again, you mean like ever? Like ever. You think he's leaving?
I think he's done.
He's cashed out?
I think he's done at Auburn. I hope I'm wrong. We'll see. The NBA really, really wants him. And Auburn fans pointing out on Twitter that he can't shoot from three is not going to change the NBA's opinion on him. You can try as much as you want, but you just look dumb when you do that. So stop it. Just stop it. Let the guy go get his money. Let him go compete at the highest level. It's good for Auburn. They're going to have a first-round pick in three straight years. I think that's great for Bruce Pearl. Because at a time when they were getting guys like Mustafa Heron and Austin Wiley, it's like, okay, all these guys are getting five stars. We're finally getting them, and they're not going to the NBA. And now they are. And so I think it's a good thing for the program long-term. But we'll have to see. We will have to see. I mean, I don't feel confident about Tuesday's matchup in Alabama. I think the glass half full way to look at it is Alabama's all but wrapped up everything. So they've just got to this game means nothing to them. They're the number one seed in the conference tournament. Can they turn it on one more time when they know that they don't have to? That's tough. That's tough for any team to do.
Yeah, as far as Alabama is considered, you know, it's still a rivalry. It's
yes.
still definitely a rivalry, so I feel like Alabama does have a little bit to play for as far as let's sweep Auburn in a season that doesn't really matter a whole lot
right.
in the grand scheme of things. Auburn, this is a rare down year, I feel like. I think it's weird to say that.
Sure.
Now, this is a rare down year for Auburn basketball. I feel like there are some things that Alabama will want to do to capitalize on the opportunities that they have. But, you know, there are definitely some good counterarguments, like you mentioned. How much is Alabama really playing for? They've got the one seed locked up.
Right.
Tournament seeding, I don't really feel like it matters at this point. I feel like they're going to be a two seed, regardless of whether they win or lose against Auburn.
But they could be a one seed. I think they could fight themselves into being a one seed.
They could be a one seed, but, you know, how much does that really matter? If you're still going to – I don't feel like the path is necessarily that much different. Anyway, that's long-term stuff. But
sure.
Regardless, Auburn's got a chance Tuesday against Alabama. Really excited to see how they play without Cooper. I think Jamal can continue to improve Alabama. Not the best team defensively.
Right.
They will shoot the lights out of it, but they're not consistent on the defensive end of the floor.
Right.
Neither is Auburn. Should be a really fast-paced, fun game. If Cooper was in this game, it would be wild. But
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to let you wrap it up in just a second, Lance. But I want to thank Drew Forehand for coming in every Saturday and taking care of business for us. In the studio, you labeled him the putback dunk of 2021. I strongly agree. He's the best in the business. And a special thank you to the Lance Dahl superfan that just scooted closer to you again. That is absolutely destroying those chicken roll ups.
I do want to thank Drew Forehand. He's done a fantastic job this season being here on the weekend with us. I want to thank Taziki so much for hosting us, and I want to thank you guys for listening. This has been an incredible basketball season. I've loved doing this with you, Zach, and I hope we get to do it next year. And that's going to do it for After the Game this season. We've had a lot of fun, and we hope to see you next year if we don't get to recap the Mississippi State game next week. Again, we don't really know a whole lot about the scheduling, but thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you later.
Join us every Auburn basketball Saturday, presented by Taziki's Mediterranean Cafe on South College in Auburn. Also brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic and Columbus Hospice of Alabama. When the Auburn game is done, it's after the...